G'day and welcome to this, the 16th episode of the Destiny Down Under podcast. This week we talked to special guest Dr. Jazzy Bebop about her amazing screenshot catalogue and the sisterhood clan that she's part of that's primarily for lady gamers. We also discussed this week at Bungie, and while there's not much to discuss, we do speculate that maybe we're going to see boats in Destiny 2. Yeah, we went there. So if you're here for a good time and some Destiny, don't you touch that dial. Cheers. G'day and welcome to this slightly wonky looking Destiny Down Under podcast. I will fix that right now, but how is everyone and how has your week been?
Good.
You know, going alright?
Yeah, good.
I thought you were talking to
Good. This week, we're joined by a special guest and good friend of at least Sloth and Eyes and probably Mylan's at some point, Dr. Jazzy Bebop. How are you?
I am well, thank you. And hello to everyone in the stream and watching the podcast. Good to be here.
Don't lie. We had to force you into it. We've kidnapped her and put her in a basement with nothing but Skype.
Yep, twist my hand around. Kidnap me and shove me in front of the...
So, do we want to dive in? Well, let's just dive in straight off the bat. Jazzy, who are you and what do you do? Part one.
All right, part one, because we're gonna have two parts today. Okay, yeah, part one. I take screenshots of the beautiful landscapes within Destiny, as well as some that perhaps not quite so beautiful, but are still interesting looking or cool or creepy or whatever you like. I have also taken shots of some of the raid bosses and some of the Soul Progeny from the Black Garden mission to date. I will eventually get around to doing some of the other bosses. Currently going through and taking shots of some of the Crucible maps, which quite a few of them are definitely a lot more lovely looking than you'd think, and certainly very easy to not notice when you're busy running around trying to shoot people. And I have a Tumblr... a blog on Tumblr where I upload all my screenshots. And yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't... I mean, first things first, if this is your first exposure to what Jazz does, you're going to get a rolling sort of display in our normal box of chat and every, you know, the MISC box that we have here on the DDU podcast. We're going to roll through a whole heap of hand-picked, hand-selected by the lady herself screenshots. So if you've never seen anything like that, if you're dead... I mean... personally, for me, when I'm sitting at work, this is just wallpapers. Just wallpapers.
Which is pretty awesome.
On an endless rotation of Destiny-related stuff, because, you know what, I never get sick of Destiny, and it's just I need more of it in my face at all times.
Jazzy, can you tell us how you do this for people that might not
know?
How
I do it?
Yeah. Or is that a trade secret?
No, absolutely.
Intellectual property.
Absolutely not. Right. So if you'd like to know how I take my screenshots without any weapons or characters on them, and obviously with the HUD turned off, there's three tricks that I use. First one is taking advantage of when you swap weapons. There's about half a second or so in between swapping weapons when your weapon's off screen. So if you time it correctly, you can take a screenshot with just the background. I don't know the PlayStation controls, so I'm just, because I'm on Xbox, so I'm just going to say the buttons are Xbox, but it's, so you press Y to swap to swap weapons, and then quickly double tap the home button to take a screenshot, and always a good idea to double check that your screenshot actually doesn't have your weapon on it, because I've done that multiple times and haven't realized until I've gone away from my Xbox and looked at it later and had to redo them, so I've learned my lesson the hard way. Second one is a trick I use mostly in the social spaces, so the tower and so forth, just because obviously you can't use weapons there, but you can certainly use it anywhere, really. So this one, you sit down in front of a wall or an object, and you just rotate your view until it'll kind of glitch out, and your character will just be off-screen, and you only have the background. And it seems to work better if you sit down facing the wall or the object. Sure. And the third one I use is using a saw glitch, which I think, Mylan, I assume you use that saw glitch in your videos.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I use,
Yeah, I don't use this one often just because I'm not always... it's a little bit trickier to get the hang of than the other two, and I'll have times when I can get it pretty quickly and other times where it just takes many, many goes to get it done. But So the idea is you just need to have your sword equipped. It doesn't need to have any ammo, so you can do it like if you're in private matches and heavy ammo hasn't come up yet. And you press Y to swap your weapon, and then not immediately, like just fraction of a second later, press RB to do a melee. And if you timed it correctly, your melee will push your weapon off screen. So it'll just be fully the background, and that's it.
This is the trick to get that, like, nearly every time. What I look for is, like, when the camera just starts to zoom in. So you'll notice, like, when you go from the third person, when you switch to your primary, the camera will start to zoom. As soon as it's sort of, just as it starts to zoom, if you do your melee attack, you'll get it nearly all the time.
I need 100%
of the time, 60% of the time.
Dude, the amount of anguish I've put myself through to try and... I suck at that thing. Like, before I started doing the machinima stuff, I asked Jazz. I picked a brain about all of this. Because, I mean, you've been doing this for a hell of a long time now. But I picked a brain about how do you get this angle? How do you do that? How did you do this? And it went on for about an hour. And I did the machinima, and it took me so long, man, just to get and, like, sitting in corners and all that crap. But there's definitely an act to it.
I don't use it a lot. But it is certainly handy because on, like, the... weapon swap one, you can actually walk around and move around, so yeah, it's handy for making videos, but if I'm taking screenshots, the weapon one is just usually easier and faster. The only time I really used it was when I was taking shots of raid bosses, just because trying to get close-up shots and not die and time my weapon swap correctly was just proving too difficult. So as Sloth can probably attest to, since he was there.
Speaking of Sloth, now just speaking of Sloth, I want to bring up something that I haven't thought about for a couple of months. Now, I mean, if you're sitting there in the chat, you're probably looking at Sloth thinking, Jesus, an incredibly handsome man. And we can back that up with the fact that Jazz has actually used Sloth quite extensively as a model in screenshots. Now, can you just touch on how that process that worked and why? What about Sloth makes Sloth the perfect model?
Thank you for throwing me under the bus, Lob.
Wouldn't be our cast if I didn't.
Be your podcast. This was quite a while ago when one of the clans I'm in, the wonderful Sisterhood of Guardians, which I will be talking about a little bit later, back when. You could only get a Black Spindle, the Ghost for No Time to Explain, and I've forgotten what other weapon it was, the ones where you could only get them if the mission was on the daily. They asked for some screenshots of the weapons, like Black Spindle, just so they could use them as like a banner whenever Lost to Light, for example, was the daily. So I tried getting some shots just of myself, but obviously it's in first person, and I wanted to get some with shots of someone else with the spindle. So I roped Sloth into agreeing to model his warlock for me and got some very nice shots out of it, I have to say. So,
what?
Yeah, it's good
warlock?
Fun.
Oh. I take that back. You are an ugly motherfucker. With a black heart. With a heart made of the void.
I'm not sure why he went on his warlock as opposed to his titan.
Maybe because he wanted to have plausible deniability. No, it wasn't me. I don't use a warlock.
That couldn't
what?
Have been me. I don't ever use warlock. Absolutely not.
Oh, I just couldn't help myself. Sorry, man.
Yeah, that's who that pretty guardian was. That is right.
So is he actually in there, or is it just his hands and like the gun in his hands?
No, it's a full sort of body shot of him with the spindle. Yeah.
One for your portfolio, anyway, Sloth. It's good.
I think I also did do of like when I think I got a nice one, which I think was actually used, which was me with a spindle zooming in on Sloth having a spindle. So I don't know, spindleception or something. And it was really cool. So thank you to Sloth for agreeing to let me sort of drag him around and say, can you like stand over to the right? No, come this way, like a little bit more to the left. Can you move a little bit back? Okay, yep, you can stand there. That's good. So thank you for letting me boss you around for a little bit.
Nah, he's a champion. Seriously, I throw him under the bus because I mean, that's what we do. That's our culture. But seriously, he'll help you do anything. The man is a he's a lovely bloke.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and that's his reward.
I'll try my best.
Is it some dead shit like me comes along and says, meep, meep, meep.
Pain in the ass.
So there we go. I've already learnt now. Like, Mylan, if you want to just recap on, like, letting people know how to do the screenshot glitch, because... like,
you might have a better explanation than me.
The sword.
Yeah, the sword.
I think nearly every single video I put out, someone asked how to do it. You just put your sword on. And basically what you do is you, in the animation, changing between your sword and your primary weapon, as the camera starts to zoom in, you do a melee. And basically what you're doing is, essentially, you're trying to have the melee animation play out whilst the camera's zooming, and then your gun just doesn't show up. It just completely disappears. Take your HUD off, and then you can, like, just float around like a ghost, basically, and you can screenshot everything you want.
Beautiful.
My number one achievement with that is we had Bife. Bife was helping out with the video. I think it was the Twilight Gap or something like that, and we actually had a whole bunch of people in the stream. I think it was a new Gjallarhorn video, and I did it first shot, and he lost his mind. And I was like, I've impressed Bife. I'm impressed. And it wasn't for the lore video. He was like, what did you just do? I was like, yeah, I just, and he's like, did you just do that first shot? I was like, yeah, I did. Yeah.
I spent 15 years in Street Fighter honing these button mashing skills. I could do anything. What does Bife sound like when he's flabbergasted? Awesome. I imagine it'd be amazing.
Oh my.
Oh. Only thing I will say with sword glitch is you just have to be careful not to double jump, or don't try and shoot your weapon or throw a grenade or anything, because it will bring your weapon back up on screen. So particularly if you're trying to get a shot from a high up place, make sure you get up there and then do the glitch, because otherwise you'll have to redo it again. So
there you go. The more you
that's
know.
That's the only annoying thing
if
about
you've ever
it.
Watched my
and
videos.
You can't really run away from enemies. So you just have to do a slow walk, jump thing. So, yeah, don't get too close.
You'll notice, like, if you pay attention to my videos, I'll walk up to an edge, and if there's no stairs, the video will cut. Because I've had to jump and then get back into the glitch.
So
if, like, the worst enemy.
Yeah.
Please if you're an avid fan of Mylan's, please just get the timestamps of every time he cuts it because he can't jump. And then post it in the comments and write, Mylan can't jump. As a nod to everyone's favourite Woody Harrelson movie from the 90s.
We're going to have to go on boat soon because people are getting rowdy in the chat.
No. There's no need to talk about boats.
Sorry, I don't want to...
Well, maybe it was a bit irresponsible to have done that. But anyway, let's move on to our next segment, which is Who Are You and What Do You Do Part 2 with Jazz. Now, this is, I don't know, I think it's something pretty fucking important, to be perfectly honest. Jazz is a representative for Sisterhood. Now, if you want to tell us what that is and what you do, that would be amazing.
Alrighty, so I am a member of the Sisterhood of Guardians, which is a really awesome all-female Destiny clan, and in particular, I am a part of their Welcome Wagon Vanguard team. So our role is that we help out the admins with, pretty much as the name suggests, just welcoming new members to the clan. They use another app, aside from Destiny app, called Band, which is kind of similar to Discord for anyone who's used that, but it does also have some extra features, like you can organize events, say for raids and so forth, and they've got albums so you can post pictures and things. So it can be a little bit confusing when you first join as to what on earth is going on, how the app works. So our job is to welcome anyone new, give them a brief explanation of how things work and where they can go to find more information on sort of how to use the app and such. And then we've got chats that are for each specific console, which is where they do LFG. So we make sure everyone puts up whether they're on Xbox One or PlayStation 4 or whatever, and get them into the right chat. And other than that, we're just meant to help out if people have any sort of questions, like how they can get a clan tag and so forth, and answer those and just generally be welcoming and helpful. Yeah.
So basically the premise from what you've explained to me is that, you know, I mean, it goes without saying sisterhood. It's for Lady Guardians out there who maybe want to connect with other Lady Guardians to avoid the cesspit of thirst and bullshit that tends to come along with.
Unfortunately, yes, it's pretty much the only requirement is that you identify as female. So that's the idea. And it is just meant for anyone, whether you're casual or whether you're a hardcore player, whether you play like every day or whether you play occasionally, we don't really mind as long as you are friendly and you're respectful to others. That's pretty much the idea. Yeah. And it's a really awesome clan. Everyone I've come across there and it's been really incredibly friendly, helpful, always welcoming of new members, willing to jump in and help out with people we need help with raids and, raids, strikes, quests, so on. Iron Banner, I know I've certainly heard of some Iron Banner teams that have been just made up fully of members from the clan and have gone and stomped all over the opposition. I may have been on one of those teams every now and then, so which is a lot of good fun. The admins also do a really awesome job of keeping the clan running. They do things like having clan events a few times a year, so say community weekends where they'll have just events going all the time, like raids and PvP and so forth, and try and get as many members involved as they can. We've had a few clan competitions, which have been a lot of fun, and they also regularly run training raids where they'll get some people who are raid specialists to Sherpa people who've either never done the raid a particular raid before, or maybe have done it a few times before but still don't feel very comfortable with it and just want to go and have someone sort of explain it to them and run them through it. But yeah, they do a lot of good stuff. So definitely well worth joining if you are a female gamer and you're looking for a clan to join. I can't recommend them enough.
Absolutely. That is exactly what we want to do. So if that's your demographic, if you want to hit that up, the links are in our Discord now and in Mylan's YouTube stream. So also, if you're a dickhead, don't fucking touch it because I'll come after you.
yeah. I do believe that the admins are usually good enough that if any guys do ask if they can join, they're usually pretty polite in saying no, but they do have a few other clans that I think a few other co-ed clans that they recommend instead. I can't remember the names off the top of my head. I think Safe Gamers is one of them. I don't remember the rest, but yeah, they're pretty good at responding to anyone who tries a troll. So
I think the important thing to remember out of this all is that Destiny and video gaming in general can be a pretty hostile place, and anything that anyone can do to make that less so, I'm in full support of. And I mean, to be honest, like, you've been in this clan since I've known you, Jazz, and I mean, you still play with all of us guys anyway, so it's not like it's, oh, you know, it's some elitist exclusive friggin' club that you belong to.
Not.
It's just somewhere that you can connect with people through that, you know, under that guise sort of thing. So, yeah, I think it's great.
No, absolutely, definitely not. I know there's been people who try to accuse people in the clan of being man-haters and discriminatory and all that, which couldn't be further from the truth. Certainly there's most of the people in the clan will happily play with other guys as long as they are respectful and polite. Quite a few of them have husbands or boyfriends who will come in and join us, so most people don't have any issue with playing with guys. Unfortunately there are some guys who are probably the minority, but some who, as soon as they realize that they are playing with a female gamer, will say some really stupid stuff, or worse, start being abusive and harassing people, to the point where there are a few girls and ladies I've heard of who just don't feel comfortable playing with guys anymore, unfortunately, because of bad experiences they've had. So one of the reasons this clan was set up was so that people like that, who still want to play with other people but want to avoid that kind of abuse and harassment, this is a space they can come and find other people to play with who will just be friendly and, you know, friendly and helpful and, you know, will be good fun to play with. Yeah.
Exactly.
Perfect. Wonderful. I think I don't think we can sum it up better than that. That is exactly what I wanted to get out of that. And yeah, so if you're in the stream or if you're listening to this, you'll we'll share the links out on our Twitter. So to both Jazz's Tumblr and to the Sisterhood. So if on either front, if you like looking at pretty pictures or that's something you want to be involved in, you'll be able to find out how. So that sort of brings us on to our next segment, which is always a contentious segment here on the DDU podcast, especially this time of year or this time of the gaming cycle when nothing is fucking happening. And that is This Week at Bungie. And I've spelt week, W-E-A-K, on the run sheet because it was a pretty weak offering.
Oh my God, you did. I didn't even notice that. Good work.
Yeah, well, I'm not an idiot. I mean, I can spell. I mean, I've got autocorrect anyway, so I would have picked it up. So basically, the bullet points that come out of it are that Hotfix 2.5.0.2 comes out on the 14th of February. So that's the firm date now. For Australia, I think it'll probably be just into the Wednesday. It'll be just into the 15th for us. If they do their typical late night launch, if not, it might be at reset. I don't know. So we'll see what happens there.
That's a Tuesday morning for them, so that must be Tuesday night for us.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. So there will be a stream next week revealing, I guess, what we can expect with Sandbox designers Josh Hamrick and Greg Peng. So we've got something to look forward to at least. We're going to get some answers. Now, the thing that I picked up this week, and as we all know, I have a mind like a fucking steel trap. I miss nothing. A very rusty, inoperable steel trap. Lots of analogies to rowing and boats in the boat this week at Bungie. Boats are confirmed for Destiny 2, if not this update.
What does it mean?
Maybe we're rowing upstream without. Maybe we're upstream without a paddle. Who knows? But
well, look. If you were to apply the same paintbrush that you used in the last hotfix patch, it means boats confirmed because everyone jumped on the fact that they said green so often. They're like, oh my God, St. Patrick's Day. It means it's St. Patrick's Day because it says green. All
right, no, you, that's a stab at this guy. No, you stop it. You stop it right now.
See what happens when he's quiet for a bit? He fucking explodes.
This. Oh, boy.
Look at him, he's gone red.
Go on, son.
No, go on.
All right.
Don't you think? Okay,
I'm not jumping on the bandwagon. You think about it logically. Green, February, green. Hello? What's green?
When is Patrick's Day? When is St. Paddy's Day?
Oh, fuck knows. I'm not.
It's the 11th of March.
Stuff knows. I'm not.
I've dropped about 8 F-bombs already, so don't worry about it, man.
Okay.
Oh.
So, you know what? I just think Lysander's going to turn up on a boat. The end.
Lysander,
you know what? Why not? Anything can happen, right?
Yeah,
Lysander
dude.
Is coming on a boat. Yeah, March 17th is St. Paddy's Day. But you know what? Is it just a troll now? Are they just doing stuff like that? And what did you say, Jazzy? It was because it's a stream, right?
No, that's something I saw. I'm not going to take credit for that one. I did see someone saying all the references to boats and water, and I don't know if there was a reference to a river or something, and they're like, because they're going to be streaming.
Oh, do you know what?
I don't know if it's just a terrible pun.
The Vex are liquid. It's going to be a time stream. It's going to be a Vex time stream confirmed. Lysander's going through time to find St. 14.
There's going to be a new exotic called the Ore. You can just point at people. And they disappear into time. Perfect.
Yeah, you're going to have a magical boat oar that you can swing like a sword, and they just poof when you hit people with them into a different timeline, basically.
Yep, confirmed. Lock it all in. It's happening. Just prepare yourself.
So I'm going to go make a YouTube video with boats confirmed and see how many people pick up on that.
Yeah. Seriously, if you came to this stream thinking that boats were seriously going to be in Destiny.
There are boats fucking on the Forgotten Shore. Don't forget. Maybe
get
going. All that rust will just fall away. near Rasputin's.
I know what you're talking about.
The ship carcasses.
Oh, really? I have never noticed it. There
are a lot of ship carcasses.
You would have run very past them 10 million times.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not the smartest person. We know this.
Yeah.
You know, see, what, maybe that's the whole hotfix.
Taking screenshots.
The whole hotfix is that you walk up to those boats. You walk up to those boats and push X and you can drive them. That's the whole hotfix.
They would just go out to the horizon. Absolutely. You'll find some new area of Earth that we've never been able to access before.
Well, I think that there's probably an underlying metaphor for these boats, because it says it's time to put our oars in the water. I mean, it is just revealing the new part. It is just revealing another section, you know, going out to the deep, right? But they're pretty good at hyping stuff up, like a big hype train for not much. So I'm not holding my breath for the hot fix.
I just think Deej just binge watched Vikings all week, and that's what's happened.
Oh my god,
it's just come out. He couldn't put any references to rape or pillage, so he had to go with boats and oars.
Oh. So the next part of this week at Bungie, just a few things to cover just before we're moving on. The Destiny server maintenance, which is always good to hear, as long as they don't stuff things up royally, because we all know, and we've spoken about this before at length, is that the servers, the netcode of Destiny, and mainly nearly everything about the connections of the game are pretty average. So hopefully they fix that. Well, not fix it, but hopefully there is...
refinement.
Some sort of refinement that we will be able to see at some point. And another thing that has come up in the report is the Siva key fragment and skeleton key issues, which were, if you were in the if you're in the forums, being removed from character inventories. So 5 keys or Siva, 200 Siva fragments, which is a little bit odd.
Wait, what would happen?
So they, if you put 5 skeleton keys and 200 Siva fragments in your vault, or have a full inventory, or blah 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 blah, that would actually just disappear straight off the bat. And I've had this happen.
That specific amount, like 205.
Well, that's the full inventory of both items.
Oh, okay. So if you had the full inventory of both items,
It is very specific, yeah. They're saying they don't have a fix for it as of yet. So anyone who is still doing the raid, still doing the strikes, and just sort of staying away from the PvP side of things, Bungie do recommend not having a full inventory of your general items. So if your general items is getting full, move some to the vault. Use dim, go to the tower, blah 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 blah. So you don't lose those items, because they're pretty, I mean, the skeleton keys up until a recent patch are actually quite rare. I think I've only ever gotten about 2 to drop. So make sure that you keep an eye out on that, guys. And make sure you keep not hounding Bungie, but make sure you just send them a clear and concise and polite report so they can respond to you.
Because people do that on forums all the time.
Listen, I'm trying to be the mediator. Bungie and the populace.
I definitely feel like if you lost 5 keys and 200 fragments, I'll be sending a blood email. I can tell you that.
Mate, right, I'd now be sending a fucking controller at high velocity. That's what I'd be sending.
Oh my god.
For a new controller.
All right.
What's happening
next
week, Bob?
Next week? What do you mean, what's happening next week?
Oh, there's a bit of a stream with Josh Hamrick. And Greg Peng.
Yeah, well, I mean,
at 10 a.m.
sandbox designers. So for me, it sounds like it'll be promising. Honestly, whenever they get guys like that sit down and speak about what they actually do, and like personally, I'm hoping it's to reveal something that, you know, that there is a new area, however big, however small, or a new, you know, task or whatever, somewhere we haven't seen yet. That's my hope, and that's but you know, when they do get those guys to sit down and speak, you normally learn more through, like, just understanding the design philosophy of what Destiny really is to the people who make it. So, I mean, I'm interested either way. I'll watch it either way. I don't care. You know, I'm just excited that something's going to be happening. But I really do hope that we're going to see something physical in-game, you know,
So sandbox designers, is that a reference to PvE?
That is world designers.
Yeah, world designers. Marlon?
So it world can designers, be, so it can be, but it's, it, I guess it can be anything, right? Like it can be PvE and PvP.
Yeah, I think
so. When I think of sandbox, I think it's more orientated towards PvE, right?
Well, sandbox designers being...
Uh-oh. In this new segment of the podcast, we thought it'd be pertinent to introduce you to the one thing that's a universal constant of Australian internet, and that is dropouts. So, this is a dropout. This is what happens. Everything stops. The world stops. Dorky music plays, and you can't get on with your life. But normal programming resumes quite shortly thereafter. Cheers. Look, if you're still there and in the stream, this is just a little intermission that we didn't have planned, but it's happened, so let's just make the most of it. Eh? All right, where were we?
Push on.
What were we talking about? Sandbox design. Where did I miss?
Sandbox design.
What did I miss?
So you guys were explaining to me sandbox design, and I'm trying to get an idea for whether... And this is going to have a portion of PvP, right? This is going to have a portion of PvP elements
in
this
so.
Update, right?
I think so.
And do you think it's just going to be that?
No, I don't think it'll just be PvP. I think there will be some... I mean, I'm hoping that there's some content for the people who don't, you know? Like, we often talk about, you know, what are the people who don't... who aren't into the PvP side of things, what happens? So, I don't know. I'm hoping so, but I don't really have a direct answer, Matt. I wish I did.
Tell me that.
Tell me!
Well, I think because it says sandbox designer has... You know, are we going to get another area? Maybe we are going to get these area, you know, the shores of time with these goddamn boats. I don't know. I don't think we'll get another area, though, or missions redone. We'll get more, I don't know, new strike missions. But they're going to have something to show, right?
They're going to have to something impressive in some capacity.
Thinking back to previous streams, well, that's not true. Sometimes they show off old stuff. Like when they did, remember when they did the raid design one? And everyone's like, dude, the raid's like 6 months old now. No one cares.
Yeah, no one gives
a
shit.
Remember
that? Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, so I hope it's not like that again. Like just showing us stuff that like has been around for three years.
If that is the case, then I am totally happy to just be pissed off about it and for everyone to be a bit frustrated with it, because I think, you know, fair enough to do that. That's fine. That's one thing. But don't hype it. Like, it's irresponsible to go around hyping something that, you know, that basically is just, you know, supplementary content. It's not anything new. It's not anything anyone didn't, you know, anyone's been burning to freaking hear, obviously, or we would have heard it already. All right, well...
We're just going to have to wait till next week, all right?
Yeah, I know. This time next week, we'll have some solid answers.
Next week. We'll be tuning in. What time is it? February... Oh, it's actually titled Sandbox Update. That's interesting, man. I think that's really interesting. Wednesday the 8th of February, 10 a.m. Pacific. So...
We can hope. We can hold on to hope. Everyone, cross your collective little fingers or whatever you have. Claws, mittens, paws, do it. The other thing, another thing that we've started doing here on the Destiny Down Under podcast is talking about online content that we've stumbled across through our week. We all consume a lot of YouTube stuff. We all watch it. I mean, personally, I've been lucky enough to catch more streams this week than I have in recent weeks. So my content review of the week is bumping into a dude called The Jez and being absolutely astounded that there's an Australian partner Destiny streamer out there that I didn't even know existed. I'm partly embarrassed, but I guess a lot of starting this podcast and that sort of thing was to try and build a little bit of a community to, or a place to pull everyone together, you know, get together under our national banner and, you know, do that, you know, because I mean, I want to support people that, you know, from here, I mean, we operate in a different time zone. It can be hard to get any kind of exposure. We have all the lag and internet latency issues. You know, if we can band together and play against each other and have our own little community to an extent, I mean, I don't want to ostracize anyone, but that was a big driver in the podcast, putting the podcast together for me. To meet a dude who's out there doing great things and that I didn't know about, that's my thing for the week. So I managed to jump in and catch some of his stream. Pretty chill guy. Likes a laugh, so, I mean, that's not surprising. But
I gotta check this out. I think he have a bungee bounty on him?
Yeah, he does, actually. I jumped on his Twitter, and he does. I'm not sure when it is. I think it's maybe the 20th of February rings a bell. So if you're
hasn't happened yet.
No, it hasn't happened yet. It's announced. So if you're an Aussie, I believe he's on PS4. At least he was when I was watching him. But if you're an Aussie, and that'll probably be your one and hopefully not only chance, but your best chance to get on and get connected to a Bungie Bounty player. So, you know, we'll update next week maybe and let you know what the deal is. I'll hit him up for some more info. Maybe we'll get him on. Who knows?
Is he only on Twitch?
No, he's YouTube as well. Got a pretty solid YouTube channel.
Oh, nice. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, dude. Get on there. Have a look.
I didn't do my homework, Log. I'm quickly trying to get answers from chat of who I should talk about. Because I didn't see this in the notes. I must.
You've had a busy week, right? You've had a hell of a fucking week. Yeah. You're forgiven if you don't have anything because, you know, you've been presenting for your bloody doctorate and all of that jazz. So maybe your content can be your own presentation.
Guys, I would like now to present on the development and evaluation of a strength-based extracurricular STEAM program for adolescents with ASD. Thank you for attending this.
I may have already tuned out.
Nicely done.
But do you have a recommendation? Do you have some info for this section,
Jazz?
Me?
Jazz, is there anything you've seen this week that caught your fancy?
Yeah, there is a video, a really awesome Destiny video I've seen called Destiny True Stories Part 2 by, I'm not sure if I'm going to say this right, Lauren Lahr? Lear? Lahr? I'm not sure. Which is just, the person who made this has just put an incredible amount of work into doing this. I think he said it's like 167 hours, and I can absolutely believe that. It is just a bunch of sort of short little skits put together little snippets, clips done to sort of well-known songs. He has done there was a video he did last year, part one, that I got an honorable mention for Movie of the Week, which was, I think, very well deserving of it. And he's gone and done I'm sorry if I'm assuming it's a he and you're a she.
Oh, don't assume.
Yeah, don't assume. So this person has gone and done another part two, and it is it's got some parts that are a bit more funny, some parts that are a bit more just really awesome, but perhaps not so funny. Like, he's done a part to Song of the Lonely Mountain from the Hobbit movie, the first one. Which, if anyone has heard it, it's quite a beautiful sort of haunting song. And he's done a really nice, put some footage from sort of when you're climbing up Felwinter Peak to that song. So, and it looks really good. And he's also got a pretty funny skit with the Cryptarch, which is well worth watching just for that. So, yeah, definitely recommend giving it a watch if you have a look. I think he has submitted it also to the community creations page somewhere on bungie.net. I'm not sure if I've got a link somewhere. I'll see if I can find
it. You can find that. We'll put it in the YouTube chat in a moment. I just remembered someone I can promote, that a new playlist, which is a collaboration between Captain Kex and Destiny Ghost Stories podcast. And if you have wanted to have a history of Destiny from the Books of Sorrow up until the end of Twilight Gap, they have just made a 7-part series, a lore series on it, which is excellent. So I'll post that playlist in the chat. It's only about half an hour, so it's very concise. So if you were trying to get someone hooked on Destiny lore, I think this is probably a really good series because it's jam-packed full of content. So I'll put that link in the description. Well, actually, not in the description. I'll put it into the chat now. Maybe just bookmark that for later if you want to check it out. By Captain Kex and the guys from Destiny Ghost Stories, I believe. I think there's some other people involved with it. But great for Destiny lore timeline. Really new. It's only just been uploaded last week, I think.
Excellent, excellent. Another gateway into the lore universe, and Mylord will end up being the bloody kingpin. Yes, get him hooked. Send him my way.
Get all the lore.
I have seen the first video of that, and for anyone who is interested in the lore and wants a really nice summary, it is a very good. It is very well done. I will have to get around to watching the rest, but yeah, kudos to them. They've done a really good job of summarizing. What can sometimes be some very hard to understand cards, so good for them.
Yep.
Excellent. All right, it's that time again, the weekly vent. We've decided that last week everyone having a bitch about something, you know, we probably didn't need to do it. We went a bit hard. It was a bit much. So we're going to, whoever's the most pissed off that week, I think we'll get it. Now, this week, I'm pretty chilled out, and I don't know about Sloth. He seemed a bit irate, but he's not fucking here anymore. So, Matt.
Marlon the Savage is about to come out.
Oh no! Oh, boy. What's happened?
I probably shouldn't talk about this kind of stuff, but I will, and obviously I won't say names. Okay, so you need to imagine this. So I did my presentation for my PhD. I don't know. Some people understand the process, some people don't. And so let me just sort of talk about what happened. So when you decide to do your PhD, you get like an initial acceptance into it, and basically what you need is a supervision team. You need a general idea of the topic. You need to have the academic background to be allowed to do a PhD. So it's different in different countries. In Australia or at my university, you need to have first class honors in an undergraduate, or you need to have already conducted further study as a master's, blah 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 blah. Anyway, I have all that criteria, so I was allowed to sort of start a PhD. But you're not officially accepted as a candidate until you've basically submitted a summary of your methodology and everything that you're going to do for the next 3 to 4 years. So you get 6 months to do that. So for the last 6 months, that is what I've been doing. I've been writing a proposal of everything I'm going to research and how I'm going to do it and how I'm going to test it and my control groups, my experimental group, blah, blah, blah. And what they do is they put you in front of all the academics of the department you're of, and they all come and listen to you, right? So it's super nerve-wracking. Like, so there's professors, there's associate professors, and everyone, most people have a doctorate of some sort. And so you have to do that presentation. And depending on what university it is, it can be a grilling. It can just be a roast fest. Like, you're there just to be like smacked
picked
about.
Apart,
just,
yeah.
Pretty much. but it's also good because you don't want to, but at the same time, like, you need other people to hear what you're trying to do and to sort of say, oh, maybe you should do it this way. Because at the end of the day, you're about to spend another 3.5 years doing something, and you don't want to get to the end of it and realize you balls it up. So it's about drawing upon the experiences and the knowledge of the department to make sure that you're going to contribute something that's worthwhile. So that's what I had on Wednesday, and that's why I haven't been able to do it. And so I had half an hour of question time, half an hour of presentation, half an hour of question time, and about 30 academics, and just super, super tough questions, like about like why are you doing it that way and how you're going to make that better and blah, blah, blah. And I tried to do my best to answer them. But there was one comment that was like, he waits right to the end, the very end of it. And it's just, I don't know why you think you're going to get any results.
So just being a fucking detracting shit.
Oh, gosh.
And then, you know, the measures you're doing, you'll never see results within 8 weeks. They're too psychologically stable. Those constructs won't change. And like just basically like the most important aspect like of my PhD is just like I rip it out and throw it across the room. So it's pretty crushing. And but the thing is, this is my rant though. I need the feedback, but the delivery of it is something that really, really grinds my gears. Like it's, I hate that. It devalues the feedback when you deliver it like that. That's what's shit about it. It when you're so bluntly honest like that and you don't like have any empathy that. But this is the thing. This part of the culture, like, oh, you're a PhD student. But this is the weird thing too, because I was their colleague because I also taught at the university. So I'm in a weird space where I'm a student, but I was also previously your colleague, as a lecturer. So, that's my rant. If you're going to give someone feedback, just have a little bit of empathy.
Yeah, dude, I think you'd nail on the head in that, if you... If he'd raised that point probably earlier on too, and I mean if it's something that is broadly dismissive, which that seems to have been, that if you get it and give you time to answer it, give you time to respond, and don't present it as a friggin' jab, present it as a question.
Yeah.
There's a million ways to do it. That's probably the wrong one, and unfortunately, you're going to bump into dickheads in every part of your life. That's what I've just learned. Dickheads are a fact of life. And maybe to some other people, I'm a dickhead. And that's fine. Not everyone's going to get along. But if you're in a situation where you can be a dickhead to someone and you cannot be a dickhead to someone, don't be a dickhead. No one likes dickheads.
So it was great feedback because I had to change a lot about my proposal, but just the delivery was a little bit off.
Righto. Now, this is a new segment, entirely new, and it'll remind you a lot of basically the end of every podcast we've done so far. This week, we're going to answer some questions from Twitter. I think that it's a better way for us to sort of get organized and give you better answers, really, because there's a lot of things where we get put on the spot, me especially, because I don't know all that much. I need to kind of have information on hand to be able to answer it correctly. So... we might do that from now on, and maybe if there's a few really burning questions, we'll answer them at the very, very end. But let's just get into it, shall we? Let's dive in. The first question that I've got is from Kit or Kite Cutcher on Twitch, at Kite Cutcher. He asks, do we have a favorite shader or emblem combinations? And do we pick gear for fashion, function, or both?
Who wants to start?
I'll go first. I like red and white. I am predominantly red and white. They're my favorite colors because of sports. And I also like armor that looks cool. I wear that helmet that I wear that I've always worn, the Future Warcult one with the eye sockets. Looks like a Centurion's mask, kind of. And honestly, it does nothing for my build at all. But I like it. It's the only one of its kind. It's the only way you can get it. So that's, I just suck it up and... That. So I guess I'm a little Destiny fashionista. That's what I've just learned about myself through answering that question. And I feel a bit weird. Honestly, I wouldn't have put myself in that category. I mean, everything, like, it's funny because like most other things, it's sort of form or function. I'd probably pick, like exotics and things like that. I'm not particularly worried about what they look like. Having said that, I don't use the, what's the Titan floaties? What are they called? The ones that you boost around.
Twilight Garrison.
Yeah, I don't use them because they're grey. And I'm like, man, grey, what?
I don't use it, yeah, because they never match your shader. And I just refuse to look like you're wearing, what did you call it, a life vest?
Yeah, you do. You look like you've just fallen off a boat. Boats.
Yeah, I refuse to look like that. I don't care how useful it is.
It's like the old Armamentarium when it was like camo and it just looks shit house. And I'm like, I wore it. I mean, I guess it depends, a trade-off. Is this so ugly that I can't wear it even though the perks that it gives me are incredibly useful? But now I use the, what are the legs called? June Marches. I love them. They're great. I'm probably the only person I've seen that does. But anyway, maybe they're crap. Who knows? I'm hardly the paragon of Destiny-based exotic wisdom. So yeah, what about you guys? Where do you stand on the issue? What's your favorite shader? My favorite shader actually is... the Suros Minimalist. It's nice and clean, red and white.
Suros is alright, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been using of late. If not, I normally just whatever new Monarchy one I can get my hands on because they're all sort of similar colours. Emblem, I don't know. I think I use one of the Valentine's Day ones that I never got to drop. It's red and white. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, I don't know the name of it, so I won't mislead anyone by having a guess. Ray, you guys, what do you do? What's your favorite shader? What's your
Me, you guys know me. I'm so bad with that stuff. I always look really awful. Like, I never pay any attention to the shader, and the only emblem that I look at using is my clan. We have a clan emblem that I have on a PlayStation. That's about it. And I just look, I pretty much just look like an absolute numpty.
What do you mean by clan emblem?
Most of the time. What's that?
Oh, you all chose to use the same emblem.
Yeah. It's a good piece of advice, though, right? If you've got a lot of people on your friends list, well, before they actually had the clan feature,
yep.
it was always hard to find your clan. So we always would use the same emblem, which wasn't very often used. So you could easily scan your friends list to see who in the clan was on. So that would always be my emblem. And the shader, I think at the moment I'm using is one of the Dead Orbit ones. It's like the white and black ones.
Yep.
So
Nowhere or something.
I can't remember
like
what it is. But yeah. Apart from that.
Yep. Mylan just walking fashion blunder.
Basically.
Oh,
basically.
Don't be caught in public with him.
I just can't do it. LVP can't do it. Dressing up can't do it.
It's ironic that, like, I mean, I'm sitting here in a sleeveless shirt looking like a bogan, but I care about my Destiny fashion. What an idiot.
Absolutely.
What about you, Jazz? What are your picks?
Pretty much like you, Log, in that I am very much focused on, does it look good? That's why I don't really use exotics, because I like having a full set of matching armor, and I don't really often care how useful it actually is. So, I think usually my Titan and my Warlock have more blue shaders, so I think, trying to remember the names, I think my Titan has a Fina Kava, which is mostly blue with a little bit of red everywhere. I think it's one of the Taken King emblem shaders, and my Warlock, I believe, is wearing, I think it was one of the blue shader you got from Festival of the Lost recently. And my Hunter, for whatever reason, I usually prefer purple shaders. So I think at the moment she's got one of the ones you get from getting to rank 3 on Queen's Wrath reputation. And as for emblems, yeah, again, Warlock and Titan, it's usually blue. So at the moment my Titan's got the Owl Sector one from when that was all happening. And my Warlock has the old, the one where you could get it from Eva Levante with a little ghost, and it looks kind of cute.
Oh, yeah.
And okay, again, going with a purple theme, my Hunter has one of the ones that I think is related to the Queen, somehow Marisov, one of those ones. So, yeah, definitely all about looking good for me.
Yeah, so that's the funny thing is that, like, my Titan, I care. The second I get onto either of the other two neglected children, Destiny, I don't give a shit. What, like, I think one of them's just brown, and I don't even know that it's just ever been out of the default shader. And the other one's my Warlock that is just aggressively gold because I've got that awful Midas one. And I wanted to look like a Logie, so, you know, that it's just absurdly gold. All right, so I think we've answered that. We've answered that as comprehensively as we can. I'm surprised, Jazzy, you remember. Like, I can't even remember what most of this shit is.
Oh, I vaguely remember. I looked it up as well because I was curious. I was like, what emblem have I got on my Warlock? Because I haven't played on her for ages. So, but Titan I do remember because I play her the most. So, yeah.
Well, Sloth's not here to answer that question, but I'm going to answer it for him. Being the model that he is, everything Sloth wears is some kind of label. Dolce & Gabbana shader.
Absolutely.
I don't know any other fashion labels. If you want to help me out in chat, we'll just blame Sloth for wearing that. But aside from that, let's move on.
I think he's usually white and red.
Yeah, he's like me. He's just copied.
Yeah, like you, I think.
Red and white Titan.
Yeah.
Different helmet.
Right. Yeah.
If he ever puts my helmet on, I yell at him. Treat him real bad until he takes it off.
I need to see this deck.
Rightio, next question. Vicious Victor V asks, Victor T, sorry, always bug. There's so many V's and T's in that name, it's just hard. Will any of us watch the Super Bowl, Cabal raid hype, and have we tried Resident Evil? So, I will probably not watch the Super Bowl because it'll be on in the middle of the morning, I think, for us.
Mm-hmm.
I'll either be at work or asleep. Cabal raid hype, yep, I'd have a Cabal raid. And try Resident Evil, no. Moving on.
Super Bowl. I'll probably watch the ad at some point. It'll be on YouTube. Or the mid-time. What is it? Halftime entertainment.
Yeah. Yep.
Resident Evil. Have tried it. Have completed it. Did it within the first 3 days. Was amazing. Was on stream. Thank you everyone who joined that one. And what was the middle question?
Cabal Raid hype.
Cabal Raid. It's a question. Yeah, it's look, that leak about the mega blocks or whatever, I reckon that's horseshit. I think we'll probably see the Cabal. Then again, the closer we get to Destiny 2, the less likely I think it'll be a Cabal Raid. I'm not too sure. Will they leave Destiny? I don't know. I think we'll get one at some point.
I agree. I think we'll see it, but I don't know when. And I can't give you a solid answer.
We might even not. It might just be a campaign mission with the Emperor. I don't know. They're that lackluster, the Cabal.
Yeah, your whole existence is just fucking subpar. Just get your shit together, Cabal.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah.
Jazz, Super Bowl, you into it?
No, I'm not really much of a sports fan in general, so no, I will not be watching the Super Bowl. I wouldn't mind seeing Cabal Raid. I'd love to see more lore about the Cabal.
Yeah.
That'd be nice, especially since I think all the other races of our enemies seem to have gotten a DLC so far. Fallen Hive had two, so I think it'd be nice to give the Cabal a bit of a go. And Resident Evil, no, I haven't tried it. I'm sort of sticking to Destiny and Overwatch at the moment, since I'll be going back to my studies soon. So I won't have as much time to game. So, yeah,
boo.
Don't need any more games.
Positive life choices. Yuck.
Yeah. I know. Who would have thought?
Oh, I know. Right. Next question. Oh, good friend. Fractured Winky asks, I hope that's not self-descriptive. That is a...
Oh, my God.
If it is, I'm sorry. Mylan, will you grow your beard back? I think you pretty much have, and in quite a short amount of time.
My beard is like a Super Saiyan. After death, it comes back stronger and thicker.
Right. Jesus Christ. So, like, yeah, as a percentage of where you were before the big shave, where do you think you are? Are you at 100%?
Well, because I had this presentation. Yeah, it would have been. It would have been a lot longer. I've trimmed it, like, down. Like, it's maintained at the moment. But, like, previously I've had it to, like, here before where it will get really long. So I'll probably grow it back to that.
Good. Good news for everyone. Good news for everyone. The second part of that question, can I do a riff? Yes, I can do many riffs. I will not be doing one now. I'll do one on my stream. I don't want to take over this with just me pissing about on the guitar.
Why don't you take us out instead of the when we finish? Why don't you do it?
I'm going to set up. Maybe next week, right? Maybe next week I'll do that.
Okay.
I'll jam out next week.
Idea.
Right. Subcult asks, if you had the chalice of never-ending drink, what would it be filled with?
That's an easy one.
What is it? Go on.
Coffee.
Coffee.
Coffee, man.
Yuck.
Coffee. Well, it won't go off right. Like, it's not going to be like a sour milk taste. Yeah.
You can have never-ending coffee, but it goes off after one day.
No, I just think I spend so much time either making coffee or getting a coffee that I would be so much more efficient in my life if I didn't have to go get a coffee. I just had a cup that was constantly full of coffee. That would be perfect.
You'd also never sleep, ever.
Yeah, but you don't have to drink it 24/7. It just never runs out.
Yeah, but, like, come on, man. We're like, young men. We don't have any restraint. You'd just be dirt. Just, I mean, I'm tempted to say beer for my answer, but I'm gonna go with Kirk's Creaming Soda. It's delicious.
It is pink, isn't it?
I'm still gunning for that. Yeah, it is pink. It is bright pink, man. It is. You pour it in a cup. You've got to be real comfortable with your sexuality as a bloke. I'll tell you what, it is pink as shit.
Oh, God, that stuff's got to be bad for you.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely horrible for you. It would probably kill me if I had a never-ending cup of it, but probably slower than beer, so I'm going for that option. Jazz, what about you?
I'm going to say apple cider. I like cider, particularly more the non-alcoholic one because I'm not a big drinker, but yeah.
There you can go. Tell there's no alcoholics here. No one said, you know, like a bourbon.
I know. I just know there's the alcoholic cider and there's the non-alcoholic one. And I don't mind the alcoholic one, but yeah, I usually prefer the non-alcoholic one.
Yeah, I've just been called up on the chat, the fact that I went to say we're middle-aged men. I am probably a middle-aged man. I didn't want to lump Mylan into that category because he's younger than me.
I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I know. So, I will...
No, Sloth is not getting lumped into that category either.
No, Sloth is older than me and is a middle-aged man. And who, you know, I reckon I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to take a guess and you can tweet me and annoy the shit out of me if I'm wrong. But I reckon if Sloth could have a never-ending drink, it would be tea.
You know what? I would pay that. Yeah, I would say tea would be my second option. Tea is
the
nice.
Amount of time out of my life I have lost through raids with him. I'm just going to make a cup of tea. Fuck your tea. I'm going to get the
I'm just off to make a brew.
You don't think he would want some sort of liquefied ciggies?
No,
just
I think
ashtray
just
water.
Breaks,
yeah.
Ashtray water.
Oh, God.
Well, no. No, no. And I don't want to give him the disservice of saying that it's some alcoholic beverage because I honestly don't think he would. They're going to be tea. It's nice hot tea. He drinks shitloads of it. Or maybe coffee like you, Matt. I don't drink coffee at all. That's an interesting fact about me. I just don't.
You don't drink coffee at all?
No. Nah, never.
Damn.
But I do drink Diet Coke as soon as I wake up and it really creeps people out. Oh, at 6:30 in the morning, drinking Diet Coke.
That's got to be bad for you.
I'm a chemical anomaly. God knows. I've ceased to be human years ago. Last but not least, good friend of the show asked a question, a very pertinent question through the week. To our whole nation, are we Scooby-Doo? Now, this raised a pretty big debate for me. A non-pig, many of you know him. He's a very serious young man. He never tweets anything spurious. He found a picture of Australia, the map, you know what it all looks like, with overlaid Scooby-Doo's head. And, there are similarities. But I pointed out that Western Australia looks like a dog. Eastern Australia looks like a cat. Now, do you think we should... This is a segue for me. Do you guys think that we should divide our country in half based on which sort of pet you own?
Well, yeah. Well, if you mean by like half, as in all the people with cats sent offshore, then yeah.
Do you also not like cats? Are you a not cat liker?
I'm a non-cat lover, man.
Yeah,
cats are assholes.
Good man.
Yep, that's it exactly, Mel. Cat dog is right.
Cat dog.
We are cat dog.
We are the nation of cat dog. Half cat, half
dog. We are the cat dog.
I actually live in the cat side of the country, so I'm saying that we shouldn't divide it. I refuse to move. I like where I live. So I am a dog person. I have two dogs. But yeah. So that was just... Jazz, what do you reckon?
I don't really have an opinion on this, but I am more of a dog person, even though I live on the cat side, so, yeah.
Wow, so you want to defect. We've got a possible defector here, Matt.
I like where I live, though. Can we just, like, swap it around, turn it upside down or something?
Yeah.
Make it so it is dog city over here? I don't know.
All right, well, I think on that very silly note, we're going to look towards wrapping up this podcast. That was probably the dumbest question that we've ever answered.
I think there was one question from Mal or from a person in the sisterhood.
Absolutely.
I don't know, you guys might have talked about this last week. It was, but what do you think about the Crimson Days cancel?
I think it's disappointing. It's just another thing to not do now. I had got involved and had a go at it last year and it was fun for what it was. Keg, he played it with me. He's in the stream. Love you, Keg. Just because there's no Valentine's Day, we'll do something. We'll go out for dinner. But I just think it's disappointing that they've removed content more than anything.
Nah, it was rubbish. Give us something different.
Cats right and crimson up. Doubles are shit. That's the bullet point. All right, so Jazz,
Can I just give one moment to acknowledge this person?
Yes.
Miko is in chat.
Yes.
Keeps trying to tell me about Anocris theory. Does it exist? No, send me the theory. I'll look at it. As far as I'm aware, it does not exist. It's all speculation. Nothing about Nokris is in the Grimoire cards or the item descriptions. It's all inferences.
No. Isla's coming in. She's after me. Just in wrapping up, Jazz, do you want to tell people, let everyone know where they can find you and where they can find your I keep going to say podcast. Your Tumblr, please.
I don't have a podcast. My Tumblr is destinyscreenshots.tumblr.com. I also have an Imgur page, which is IMGUR, for those who haven't ever seen that site before, which is where I upload wallpaper-sized versions of my screenshots, because for some reason Tumblr insists on downsizing them. So that is drjazzybebop.imgur.com. And I am also on Twitter at Dr. Jazzy Bebop.
Excellent. And if you want to find me, I'm Log Power Slave, and I'm called that everywhere. It's not on my birth certificate, but everywhere else, pretty much. And Matt, typically, will find you if you like lore. You can do your creepy outro, and we'll end on that, I think.
If you want to find me, I'm not going to give you anything. Another Twitter handle, another YouTube, whatever. All you have to do, take an interest in Destiny lore, and I'll find you, bitch.
All right. For God's sake, I am so glad that my daughter, who is standing next to me, cannot hear you. All right, that is it for another week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you very much for having me on.
No worries.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
No worries. A lot of fun.